Brett Hollander back here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Right now we're joined by a reporter for the New York Times, Sarah Lyle, whose story today breaks open a lot of things in a major investigation on the campus of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Sarah, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, thank you.
All right, well, let's get right to the nuts and bolts of it with your piece reveals that athletes are taking fake classes, if you could kind of shed some light onto that.
They were taking fake classes. There was an administrator and a professor in the Department of African and Afro-American Studies for nearly 20 years who appear to have felt sorry for athletes and other struggling students, and they essentially set up a fake curriculum, a shadow curriculum, where they listed all these courses that didn't meet, where people never met a professor, where the only requirement was to hand in a paper, which was then graded by the office administrator who barely looked at it at all. So people could basically get credits for doing nothing and not going to class and never learning anything.
So when you say taking fake classes, you mean at the end they get a fake grade? They have fake...
You get a fake grade, which is usually A or a B.
Right. It'd be nice to take some of those classes, I guess. Did they recruit these athletes independently into these classes, or do athletes pipe up and say, I want to be in that program?
Well, I think, you know, I'm sure you know from when you went to college, everybody tries to take a few easy classes.
Sure.
You know, it's not that these issues, that these classes are easy. But there were a preponderance of football players, basketball players, some women's basketball players who all saw this department, the African Studies Department, as a place you could get easy, good grades. But at the same time, the academic counselors who were in charge of helping these athletes kind of keep up their grades in order to remain eligible to play were in some cases deliberately steering deliberately steering them into these specific courses where they knew just as well as the people within the department knew that you didn't have to do anything, that there were no requirements, that the class didn't meet, that, you know, you could just go and get your grade.
Your basic questions kind of are raised here. This is a period we're talking about, as you mentioned, almost 20 years, 1993 to 2011. How does something like this, I guess, go on for that length of time and word not spread out of a major institution like North Carolina?
Number of things. You know, I do think that there has been a tradition in a lot of colleges to give athletes an easy ride, I have to say. In these colleges where athletics is so important and being on a team is basically a full-time job, you know, there is always an issue of how do you recruit people who can, it's not even that maybe they can't keep up, it's that they don't have time to do both things. So that's one thing. I think there's a kind of predilection for hoping that the athletes do well. At the same time, is they found that the school, you know, was very decentralized. There was no oversight by the administration on this department. This one guy was the chairman of the department for nearly 20 years. He was given a ton of latitude, and a lot of warning signs were just ignored. I mean, at one point, one administrator noticed that this one teacher was offering something like 300 independent study courses in the course of a single year, which would mean he had 300 students independently meeting with him, discussing subjects with him. He would supervise their projects. You know, it's just not humanly possible. And she apparently told the chairman, you know, you've got to reduce the number of these classes you offer. But she didn't ever look beyond that or follow up on it.
Amazing. We're with Sarah Lyle, reporter for the New York Times, covering this UNC investigation. I guess the question is, who else knew on campus? Is there a chance the coaches knew? Is there a chance the athletic director knew? Maybe the president of the school?
Not the president of the school. I mean, they really did find that the administration was very separate. That having been said, there have been a lot of personnel changes since this all broke 2 years ago. There is a new athletic director. There's a new chancellor. You know, a lot of people are different from the ones they were. It seems like people in the office that was sort of the liaison between the athletes and their academic lives all knew about it because they were steering the kids into these classes. It seems that some of the coaches, assistant coaches, knew or turned a blind eye to it. It appears that the football coaches must have known because the report described this one incredible incident where when the administrator who was organizing all these fake classes resigned, she retired, the football staff knew that all of a sudden these easy grades were going to go away. These kids couldn't take these classes. So they convened a meeting of all the football coaches, and they laid out on a PowerPoint slide what had been the benefits of having this opportunity with these state classes. And it said, you know, it used to be that the kids could take classes that never met, that they didn't have to remain awake for, they didn't have to listen to the professor for, they didn't have to do anything for. And then in capital letters it said, now these are all gone. And they showed it to all the football coaches. Now, the football coaches have told the investigators they can't necessarily remember being there, but there is evidence that they were there. So, you know, again, it's either they knew specifically or they just chose not to really look further into it. But, you know, I think there was a tacit sense people, in, at least in the athletics, knew what was going on.
Sarah, with your reporting background and journalistic kind of intuition, do you think there's another chapter to be written in this story, or is it kind of over? Reading some of the quotes from the chancellor saying that a lot of the key players have been fired and, you know, kind of the overwhelming sense that we're moving on, is this story dead in its tracks right now, or is there more to it?
Well, it's interesting. Since this story started breaking in 2011, and I have to say it came because of the reporting at the Raleigh News and Observer, and their original reporting led to the resignation of the chairman of the department. And then gradually they started uncovering more things. But the university has really kind of denied all along that this was an athletic issue. They've been at pains to say it was just a academic issue. It was confined to these two people. And there have been a bunch of studies done before this, a bunch of investigations, a few internal ones, one commissioned by the governor, former governor of North Carolina. And each time they've said that's all there is, you know, we're confident, there's nothing more to find out. This really was comprehensive. And what this report did was it actually, the guy who did it got access to the two people responsible for this scheme, who were the chairman and the administrator of the African Studies Department. And I think in return for not being prosecuted, because at one point they were both indicted for criminal acts by the local district attorney, In exchange for that being dropped, they were completely candid with the investigators in this report. So it feels like there's not a lot more to come out. I mean, I think the thing I would like to know certainly is from the athlete's point of view.
Yeah.
You know, there must be a lot more to it. A lot, you know, I'd like to know about their academic careers, what else was going on. But as far as sort of what the school, what happened at the school, I think we have a pretty good picture now.
Sarah Lyle has been all over this investigation for the New York Times. Sarah, thank you so much for your insight today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
You too. That's Sarah Lyle. We'll come back with more here on WBAL News Radio 1090.